Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Booker. Today on the show, I am talking to the creative founder of W. Rubens, Michael Shuttleworth, w.rubens.com, the place to go. A little bit about W. Rubens. Minimalist, dynamic, iconic, a great white t-shirt, never goes out of style. Now made for your best fit and made to last. Handcrafted in the UK from luxury cotton, using traditional tailoring techniques, drawing from suiting, sportswear and culture. Rubens is a fresh take on a classic staple. Texture, juxtaposition and unexpected details that will turn heads. Also, we have a community £15 discount that Michael is kindly offering our listeners. And if you go to check out and type in menswear 15, then you will be entitled to a 15% discount. So once again, www.wrubens.com. We'll put all the links over on the show notes and on the website menswearstyle.co.uk. But once again, that gift code is menswear15 to get your 15% discount. And here to talk about W. Rubens in his own words is Michael Shuttleworth.
I'm Michael. I'm the creative director, owner of W. Rubens. How do I describe the brand? I'd say we're a modern take on a classic white t-shirt. What we do is we reinvent a t-shirt. And what we do is we kind of make it different. So it's not a t-shirt per se. It's kind of like a hybrid product. We're taking like elements from tailoring and turning it into a t-shirt form. So it has this duality. It's like you have a day feel, but you have like a night accent. So it's a white t-shirt, but it has like lapels, bibs, crisscross necklines. It's just a play with a t-shirt. If you've seen the brand or this is our website, W. Rubens, you see what we do. But it's predominantly like tailoring influenced. So a lot of our products actually use Savile Row techniques. So it's quite cool. I do get offended sometimes because people say it's a t-shirt, but it's not really a t-shirt. We just use cotton fabric, which is used for a t-shirt. So what is it? Is it a t-shirt? Is it a jacket? What is it? It's a Rubens. It's a complete new product. Technically, it's tricky to do. You know, it took me a good couple of years to get the right formula. I feel like finally, after 3 years of the brand, we got the formula. I'm pretty excited for what we're doing right now. I think the brand will really kick on like from 2024, because we're doing our first trade show. We're gonna Pitti Uomo in Florence, January. So it's gonna be really cool to just be in front of people, the world, presenting the collection to buyers, journalists, the media, and just showcasing what we do. It's like pure craft. That's what we focus on. It's about the quality. It's about the craftsmanship. It's about the people behind the brand. Like W. Rubens has no association with my name. I just felt like I wanted to have like this sort of collaborative sort of collective that people of different mediums, different arts come in and create like this really, really cool brand. So initially, the reason why I started with a t-shirt is like my life was, I was a stylist for 15 years, long time, hard time, but I enjoyed it. I was very lucky. I worked with the right clients. I was doing the right things.
Who were your clients, Michael?
To be honest, a mixture of people. We got like politicians, we got willpower people, we got sports stars, film stars, musicians, all different types of people, but all predominantly wealth-based people. So it gave me the great ability to travel around and, you know, travel the world, you know, and get paid for it. It's pretty cool. So I did that for a long time. And the reason why the idea was born was because everyone would say the same thing to me. Where do I buy a white t-shirt? Now, like, I don't really know. Like, you don't have a library of a t-shirt company. There's no company that specifically focus on white t-shirts. Of course, everyone stocks a good t-shirt, but Like, you don't walk into a space and you have like 10 or 20 different variations, and they're all different. They all have a different sort of story and persona. So for me, that's when the like light bulb moment came on. It's nothing revolutional. But yeah, that was like 8 years ago. And it stuck with me. I felt like, yeah, that's a really good idea. It's nothing new, but, you know, let's do it. And what I did was kind of like played on the white T-shirt, but I introduced my hobbies and my loves, which was tailoring, sportswear, culture, past, present, everything that was in my life. I would introduce it into the T-shirt form and create like these sort of products, which, you know, it's not a T-shirt, it's not a jacket. What is it? A Rubens. So yeah, I created like this narrative, different stories, different T-shirts from different influences. And like with my job, like I would travel the world extensively. Like I'm very, very grateful for my past career, because it gave me a great opportunity to see the world. And a lot of T-shirts are inspired by world events and world history and just me being in different streets around the world. I'm talking all different continents. You can talk Africa, South America, North America, Europe, Asia. I've been there, and I wasn't there for like a day. I was there for a good couple of months. So I'm really immersed in culture and traditions, and kind of just like a sponge, soaked it all up. And I just built this series, this collection of white T-shirts. T-shirts general, anyway. I probably have like 7,000 to 8,000 designs. I'm pretty intense. Like if I do something, I do it well, and I want to do as much as I can. Mm. And we started with a white T-shirt. So the brand was kind of built during COVID. Believe it or not, I know a lot of people had tragedies and losses and hard times, but for me, it was my golden time. I say it for me because it's the first time in my life that I had full freedom. It's the first time I wake up and I had nothing on my phone. So it was kind of like I was liberated. I was free from everything. So that's when I went back to that idea of the light bulb moment, which was the white T-shirt. I was like, we got all this design, all this data. Let's do something about it. I think like in life, it's about action. We all have these great ideas, but it's about action. I just don't want to be like one of these guys who just procrastinates. So I thought like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And also like in life general, there's no right time. You just got to do it. So I just quit everything and just started the white T-shirt company. And the way it started was I just called a lot of friends, people I knew in the industry, and said, hey, would you be interested in joining this brand and creating a T-shirt? And they're like, yeah, hell yeah. So yeah, we built the brand over COVID, doing a lot of Zoom calls, you know, lots of meetings online. It was a fun moment, but it was tough as well, because, you know, like for fittings and fine fabrics, it was no go. There's no travel. So how do you get the right form? How do you get the right fabric? You know, that comes down to like you being inventive. You know, from my experience with the fabric, I was very lucky for Premier Vision, because Premier Vision migrated on to like an online marketplace, and from that, I was just ordering fabrics from all over the world, literally every mill around the world. So I probably racked up about a huge expense of logistic bills, but for me, I want to give every company equal chance. So,
Did you sketch out a business plan and then kind of go for it in logical steps? Did you have the idea and the premise, the conceit, and then just thought, let's get the momentum of the idea going and hopefully the business plan will catch up?
I think like the business plan was definitely there for sure. There was obviously framework, but you know, I'm not from a business background. I'm more of a creative, but you know, I appreciate business. You know, for me, I've been, you know, I came to London with nothing. I built, you know, quite a healthy ecosystem. I'm not going to say a healthy empire, because that's not quite where I am right now. I know how to make money, and I know how to run money. But in terms of business plan, it was kind of, you know, I kind of like wanted to keep like a slender model. One block, one T-shirt, one fabric. it was completely simple. Like, I didn't want to have multiple fabrics, multiple colors, you know, like running, you know, the fashion industry, it's like everyone has minimums. Like, you know, you're gonna be, that's why a lot of brands don't survive, because after you got a 3 to 6 month window to sell your stock. So I wanted something that was kind of like timeless, seasonless. So I felt like white t-shirt, one fabric, bye. And obviously then we build out the strategies and sort of the plan. But the plan was always there and still is. Like, I what it, for me is, like, I like to visualize. I always dream out the idea and write it down, sketch the plan. And just, like, I think life general, you if you jump in a car and you don't know where you go, where do you drive? You just go driving around. You just don't know what you're doing. So for me, it's like, I know exactly where I want to go. So for me, yeah, the plan is most important, especially with business plans, because things don't go to plan. But when you look at the business plan, it reminds you of what you set out to do. Is that, they're crucial. Like, for any entrepreneur, any person in fashion doing a startup, business plan is really fundamental in terms of, like, scaling and growing a brand, because it's a reminder. And as much as we want to design, like, it's a reminder how to run a business. And business in fashion is paramount. If you can't run a business, you're not going to survive. And it's tough. Fashion business is tough. I have a lot of friends who are fashion designers, big designers, and they're not breaking even. It's tough, tough, tough out there. And I think if you can study it on the business side, better, yeah. But in terms of the business plan, yeah, it was kind of set out, but it wasn't, like, crystal clear. It wasn't defining. But I did work with someone who actually builds business plans, so he did help me and navigate me, and he gave me a good framework. So I'm grateful for him.
And what were the most important things in the framework? So anyone else that's looking to get on the coattails of what you're doing, would you say are the key steps?
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with moving tips in the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
I think you've got to be very shrewd. I think, like, if you're going to put money down, you've got to understand the ROI, which is return on investment. So if you're going to put money on something, you're like, okay, what is my return? So just managing your cash flow is really, really important. I think that is the most important, understanding your costs. I think for my first phase of Rubens, like, I went, like, I was product-centric. If I could rewind, I would say, okay, let's focus on product. Yes, great, it's important. But also focus on the marketing aspect as well, because you can be the most talented fashion designer or creative, but if no one knows you, how are you gonna move? So it's about, I think, from my maturity and developing and growing the brand, I think it's about marketing and positioning and just having, you know, 50-50 in terms of budgeting. It's tricky out there. It's like, how do you find information? Like, everybody's out there to get you. But it's how do you find a good factory? How do you find a good mill? You know, there's a lot of complications in developing. And how do you find good people as well? Because, you know, in fashion, it's very, you know, like, you can't do everything. It's basically impossible to do everything. I'm not saying it can't be done, but just focus on your talents and try and outsource the good people to the things that you're not so good at. I think that's a good one. But I think this budgeting is really important in fashion. And having, like, a safety bank, just in case things don't go well, there's money that you can it can help you survive. Because, it's expensive to grow and start a brand, from my experience.
Yeah.
I really wish there was more information out there to you know, find partners, find people that can help you and grow your brand, because, you know, you need machinists, you need pattern cutters, you need a factory, you need production, you need sampling. There's so many, like, questions. And, you know, for younger creatives, it's how do you start?
I'm sorry to jump in, but your start, your beginning, you're talking about being a stylist for 15 years. Yeah. Were you, what were you before that? Was that, were you trained to be a stylist? Were you trained to be a tailor or a designer?
No, I studied architecture, but I never finished because my heart wasn't there. I always wanted to, for me, if you want to be the best, you've got to learn from the best. And I had a lecturer who wasn't really interested in what he did. So that kind of like rubbed off on me, and I felt like you're not inspiring me. So I kind of ran off and came to London when I was 18. Pretty much came from nothing, really. Just lived in a studio flat in Bayswater. I think all in one, and I never seen quite an apartment like it was. But that's what you do for your passion, and your love. You know, I always knew I wanted to create a fashion brand from an early age. Like I grew up in Wales, in a small village. I had a love of fashion from an early age, pop videos, fashion magazines, a stylish mother. You know, just love clothes, just mad about collecting beautiful clothes. And like, I'm extremely grateful for my mom, who kind of got me out of the normality. She always wanted me to be different. I mean, different, like she wanted me to be someone where everyone would laugh at, being unique in your character. But I didn't really understand it as a kid, but I really appreciate it now, because you know who you are. You're original. You're not manipulated. You're not like copying people's styles. You're not stealing styles. You're authentically you. Nowadays, it's pretty easy to do that, because you just go on social media and say, oh, I like his style, or I like her style, and you just copy. But growing up, it was tough. But like, well, as a child, what we'd do, my mom, we would just go around the UK looking for like independent fashion shops. And it was just great just being around that, just going to different sites, different stores, different personalities, and just cherry picking things that you liked. You know, and I was very lucky as a child. I would travel with my parents, and we would do the same when we go to like different countries, and we'd find cool stuff, unique stuff, bohemian stuff. And I kind of think that kind of made me as a creative, just learning from beautiful designs, local designers, and just understanding their vision. I became friends with many of the boutique owners as I grew older, and I just love their spirit and their passion for what they do. You know, I feel like everybody wants to look great, but you know, they want these big branded names. No one really believes in a little. There's people out there that do, but no one wants to take on the small brands. No, like, you know, it comes down to the buyers as well. So they all want about they want like these huge following, these huge communities, these likes. Or like, and it's hard sometimes to navigate, because you know, we're not all Gucci and we're not all LV. We've got to start from somewhere. We need people that are, you know, real, are authentic, and are true. Because if there's no support, how do we change? How do we have newness? How do we grow into a new sort of image? So it's the same brands, same designs. It's a bit boring. There's no personality. And for me, that's why I kind of want to inject with W. Rubens. I want to inject like a new style and a new persona that people can say, oh wow, this is a bit different, this is a bit unique.
Let's talk about the style of the t-shirts, Michael. Sorry to jump over here, but the so like, if anyone has jumped on the website or the Instagram, which is W Rubens on Instagram,
W Rubens,
like the t-shirts have an element of tailoring to them. You've got like this, I want to say like an asymmetrical lapel, which kind of sounds very different for a t-shirt, or, you know, different kind of bibs and fronts. There's obviously some tailoring that has to go on with this, with the make of the t-shirt. And I'm just curious as to someone like you who hasn't got a background in tailoring on how to know how to cut. How do you get what's out of your head onto paper and then from paper to execution and garment?
So, you know, like, just doing a lot of drawing. I do a lot of drawing. I do a lot of drawing, too much drawing. But you lean on a pattern cutter, and you know I work directly with the pattern cutter, so they draw my vision, they cut my vision. So I'm working directly with them. It's important to have a good pattern cutter, and I do obviously. Now I've been around it for a few years now, I'm starting to do it myself. Sometimes it is important to demonstrate and show what you actually want, because how do you go into someone's mind? You can't. You know, I'm a visionary. I see things. And for that, it's like, how do you channel? Sometimes you can communicate. Sometimes you can draw, but it's still not what you want it to be. So I demonstrate. I'm learning. I'm not saying I'm the best pattern cutter, but, you know, I'm learning something that I enjoy very, very much. Kind of numbs my mind, if I'm honest. But the thing is, like, when it comes to pattern cutting, for people that want to be a pattern cutter, it's nothing daunting. It's basically scissors and paper. It's just putting pieces of paper together and creating the silhouette. Like when I looked at it, I'm like, this is so difficult, but it's not. It's just practice, just being disciplined, committed, and just doing it. You know, just practice makes perfect.
And are you doing some at home on your own time? Like, in do you have a studio?
Do it. I'm very lucky to have a great partner. I have a manufacturing partner in North London, in Bounds Green. It's called Unlimited Fashion. And I would say he's kind of the godfather of British design. He's a great man. He's a great man. And what he does is he supports young brands. The way he supports young brands, a young brand can go in and say, I want to do an order. And he's like, yeah, sure. You don't have to pay any payment. You don't have to do a net 30 or pay half up front. All you've got to do is you've got to pay when the goods are ready. So a lot of young brands have passed through him. JW Anderson, A. Coldwall, Craig Green. You know, these are brands that are really leading fashion in UK right now. So he's responsible for that. He gave them the break and he's given me the break. So I go to the factory a lot. Mess around, draw, cut, play. I think it's about enjoying what you do. And because, you know, you're in a really, really great space to, you know, you give people character. You know, for me, I want to make that person feel, you know, unique, brilliant, excellent. You know, for me, it's about enhancing that person. You know, we're in some ways, we're magicians as designers because you're transforming people. So yeah, it's really important that you do it with love and excitement and yeah, enthusiasm. So yeah, I do it a lot actually. I go to the factory, yeah, 4 days out of my week. Probably from next year, with the brand's growth, I'll probably be there 5-7 days a week. So it's important to be there, seeing how everyone works. Are people happy? And that's a beautiful thing about, you know, having, you know, a presence in the UK. You can actually check in on your people. You can see the machinists. You can see the pattern cutter. You can see the cutter to the steamer. You see everyone, and that's why I partnered up with a UK based factory, because I really believe in the local economy. I believe in craft, and I believe in this country. And you know, if we don't support our craftsmen and craftswomen, it's not going to survive. So. I'm really proud to be, you know, a UK based brand. I think 90% of our partners are based in the UK. I always put UK based businesses first. The only thing that's not British is my cotton. My cotton is a BCI cotton, which is Better Cotton Initiative. So it's sustainable farming, protects welfare and people, which is great. Again, another story to tell. Initially, this fabric mill didn't want to work with me. They work with the likes of Loggiana, Prada, Gucci, LV. They don't work with startups. But I didn't let that get to me, because I know who I am and I know where this brand's going. So I just hounded them. And I think one of my biggest strengths is my resilience. I don't say no. I don't accept no. So I just kept on and on. And eventually I had an appointment with them. So I went to Italy, sat down with them, showed them the product. they felt my energy. They said, okay, we're in. So they gave me a break. They said, we don't normally work with startups, but we like you, and we're going to take a chance with you. So yeah, they're my partner. I've been with them since the brand started. Great family business, great fabrics. I would say they're arguably the finest fabrics in cotton, the best. Really, really, really luxurious hand feel. Great cloth, washed, worn, great. You know, a brilliant product. I'm excited to grow with them because they have beautiful sweats and cotton, which I'm looking to unveil next year, like hoodies, pants, just everything. My mission with the brand is to turn into a fashion company. Yes, we start with t-shirts, but in time we want to do everything and everything in the men's space. But you got to be modest. You got to be realistic as well. I say, slow is the new fast. Take your time, get it right. I really want to be known for my t-shirt. So that's what I'm driving. I'm not looking at other products right now. I have an inventory of like 10,000 different designs, trousers, jackets, suits. But I just want to focus on this t-shirt, get it right, build a company, build a community that, is appreciative of what we do. Like next year, we're going to introduce new colors, which is cool. Talks with different artists about doing prints. So yeah, it's going to be an eventful year next year. We're going to be really aggressive on how we position ourselves. I think it all starts with Pitiumo. Be interesting to be in front of buyers, see what they think of the product. And yeah, hopefully if it goes well, we'll be with shops around the world. That's the plan, really.
Brilliant.
And then after Pitti, then we go to Chicago, which is another trade show, another famous one called Chicago Collections. So if people don't know about that one, try it. Mm. From my experience with Rubens over the last few years, the American market is super hot, and American clients and brands, boutique retailers are loving what British brands are doing right now. So yeah, that's going to be a good moment for us. I'm excited to go to North America and hopefully hit it off. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Michael, thanks for walking us through the brand. I'm going to enjoy watching this space, and people can enjoy watching it also. WRubens.com, the place people can check out the brands, and also WRubens on Instagram, which I'm going to follow right now. And you have a link tree there. You can go and buy everything through the link tree and have a look and check that out and say hello on the Instagram to Michael. But in the meantime, great talking to you, Michael.
Pleasure.
Brilliant. And keep up the good fight with the London production, London manufacturing and everything. We need people like you out there in the field. And best of luck in Pitti.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Thanks, Pete. Thank you for your time.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content, and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you would like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.